Okay, Philippians chapter 3, revisited before I go into our little dramatization of a great big drama. What we read out of the hymnal, the Message translation shares it like this: we couldn't carry this off by our own efforts. Even though we can list what many might think are impressive credentials. You'll have to forgive me, I turned to the wrong page and passage, which I also had marked, but not for today. Think of yourselves the way Christ Jesus thought of himself. That's what we want to say in review, in reaffirm from Paul's letter. He had equal status with God, but didn't think so much of himself that he had to cling to the advantages of that status, no matter what. Not at all. When the time came, he set aside the privileges of deity, and he took on the status of a slave, a commoner, a bondservant. He became human. And it was an incredibly humbling process. He didn't claim special privileges. Instead, he lived a selfless, obedient life and then died a selfless, obedient death. And the worst kind of death at that. Because of that obedience, God lifted him high and honored him far above anyone or anything ever, so that all created beings in heaven and on earth, even those long ago dead and buried, will bow in worship before this Jesus Christ and call out in praise that he is the master of all, to the glorious honor of God the Father. Listen to Jesus speak again about his ordeal. At last I came to Golgotha. That's where we left off. That's where we left off in our story. At last I came to Golgotha, the story, the hill of the skull, another name for Calvary. I turned to face the temple. I also saw the temple courtyard filled with families holding their lambs awaiting sacrifice. It is your hour, Jesus speaking. It is your hour, powers of darkness. That's where we're at. Prepare to come here at my command. They are under his command. The Jews have tried me, the heathen have tried me, now it is your turn. Powers of darkness. It was almost noon. I spoke to the unseen realm. Meet me here, principalities and powers. Come, it is your destiny to meet me at my cross. And I spoke to the city below. Jerusalem, you have so often slain your prophets. God has sent many messengers, plenty of warnings. You had a way of rejecting them all. Next, I beheld the temple. I saw the covered entrance, which had blocked the view of its sacred chambers, and beyond that, excuse me, the veil. Beyond the veil, the Holy of Holies. The last sight I would behold would not be the Holy of Holies, but the very Ark of God itself. I then searched the surrounding hills, for there was yet another sight, another scene. At last I sighted the scapegoat. This is what they did in their yearly ritual. The scapegoat, all alone on the side of a hill, fastened to a small altar. Scapegoat, I said, this day you and I had been led outside the camp. You, the picture, and I, the one who is truly the scapegoat. You are tied to an altar and cannot move, so I too am about to be tied to my altar. And after all, isn't that what the Father intended? All those years of observing this on this time of year, this on Passover time and celebration. It was I and I alone who would consent to the cross. The sky began to darken. It's as if all the wickedness of time and eternity were moving toward this hill, Golgotha, Mount Calvary. Last week, week prior to this, he was a hero. Thousands came out to greet him, and on the Bethany Road, they threw palm branches before him. That was last week. This week, he's the enemy of Israel and Rome. And from the one day to another of this week, again, I just remind you that basically one third in number of the gospel chapters focus on this one week of 33 years of living for the Son of God on earth. He claimed to be the Messiah. So this thing that went on last week, which was all nice and pretty, got over with. The problem was, for many, he proved that he really was. And so I say, I know they knew it. Like the chosen sheep now being led into the temple for slaughter, I uttered not a word. Look over here at the Jews' temple. See all those people. We're looking at them. But they're also looking at us. At 6 in the evening, they will slaughter vast numbers of lambs. Frankly, until then, we will be the main event of the day. You'll have a good view of their Passover festivities, and they have a good view of our slaughter of a man. Watching this man die a hideous death may be more interesting to them than slaying a lamb, which they've seen millions of times over. I want to direct your attention to number 370 in the hymnal. We read this most every year. Written by Latane C. Scott. In the temple now they are killing the lambs, number 370. There, 270,000 will die. We're talking 1 year, one Passover. 270,000 will die. The air of Jerusalem has been filled with their bleeding, and I think we might also say the scent of blood. Blood, blood, blood. All day, as red-sleeved priests perform their duty of meting out death. One by one, white throats are slit. The temple has the hot, moist smell of blood about it. A conduit drains from the great brass altar down to the brook Kidron. The Kidron Brook. Between the Temple Mount, crossing the Kidron to get up to the Mount of Olives. Very significant, even the geographical matters alone. But in the dusk light of this Thursday, the leaves of the olive trees tremble as the wind heaves and lunges into them. Men approach the blood-swollen creek and cross this bridge, hurrying toward the shade they seek. Why has this lone man stopped, man, who, capital M, stopped at the Kidron before he crosses, his finger just touching the red water, and pauses? I add this to what's written here. We're talking about, and it's mentioned, that number, 270,000, but we're talking about 250,000 lambs, one Passover, one time celebration of the year, one, but that's not counting the lambs sacrificed a daily basis, whatever, but on this one holiday alone, this one celebration, I shouldn't say holiday as much as holy day, God set it up. He set it up ages ahead of time to come to the time right now when this lamb, capital L, will be sacrificed. But it's been reckoned this way, 600 priests on duty, 600 priests operating and functioning right now at this time when 4 lambs per minute will translate into a 2-hour period of the number that we've talked about, 250,000. Take them 4 hours to do it at the rate of 4 lambs per minute. two-hour period, four lambs per minute. On twilight, as the Old Testament tells it, and based on the Hebrew calendar, the 14th of Nisan, the month Nisan, N-I-S-A-N, which translates into what we've come up with on our calendars in the Roman calendar, but the Lamb of God, now taking away all of that. It won't stop because they don't recognize what's happened. But in a sense, there will be no more. Not as far as God requires. But until a man catches up with that, they will continue to be slaughtered at that rate. Only eyes which can see that which cannot be seen. Let me say that again. Only eyes that can see that which cannot be seen, visibly speaking, could know the drama that next began unfolding on the hill. Time ceased its onward march. Mass, space, time came to a halt. I was now looking into the gathering of creatures that man's eyes cannot see. I was now looking into the gathering into the creatures man's eyes. See, I'm sorry. I'll say it again. The gathering of creatures that man's eyes could not see, cannot see. Not without spiritual discernment. The help of God, the Holy Spirit. I didn't mention it this time, and I'm going to do that right now. Gene Edwards. His writing entitled "The Day I Was Crucified," treatment of Jesus himself speaking what went on here. For those that haven't heard that, and this is, he gets the credit for this. Of course, I had a lot of other stuff, whatever. Just so you know, he doesn't say it all the way I say some things in my ignorant way. The cloud over Golgotha grew thicker and more foreboding. Everywhere pictures and types and symbols surrounded me. The Passover, a sight, a symbol, you know, the temple, the lamb, all had been but shadows of me, see? Jesus telling it. The gathering darkness made clear that the shadows, types, and symbols were about to find their fulfillment. The pernicious citizens of perdition. Just powerful words, covering a lot. Pernicious citizens, entire loss, utter destruction, perdition, the destructive, ruinous, injurious. I knew it well. I heard a voice. I knew it well. Quote, "Poor Son of God, you came here 30 years ago to this earth thinking that there would grow up among the redeemed a people outside my system." Who do you suppose is talking? "You have failed, O pale carpenter. Look around you. No such people exist." And he was right in a sense. Looking around the cross, no one there. Meaning of those who were his disciples. Not entirely so, but just about. Well, that dream dies here. Now, drink the cup. Jesus now speaks, not from the cross like the words we heard and are recorded in our Gospels, but these words to these spirit beings that just are surrounding him. "Hear me now, sin," meaning with a capital S, meaning, you know, giving a personification, a name. "Hear me now, sin, Lucifer, world," capital W. "This day I have dealt with the Hebrews. This day I have dealt with the heathen. Now it's time for you to be dealt with by me, you citizens of darkness, you infernal clan." The one who now stood before me was sin incarnate. I commanded, "You, the source of all iniquity, stand here and listen to me." Yes, replied sin. We, the enemies of God, await your end. Behold, all who have again thwarted the carpenter's purpose. You get a pretty good picture of this if I did what I should have done, if I did what I could have done, and that's asked Rebecca to play for you what she played for us from Chronicles of Narnia. Did I say it right? Get the wrong one. I'm sorry, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, yes. And how many remember that scene where there's just hordes of demonic-looking creatures, critters, beasts, and whatever? And just surrounding Aslan. And horrid-looking, wicked-looking, awful-looking. Get a picture of that again sometime, and then you can have an idea of what Jesus is addressing here. I then addressed the fallen angel. Draw nearer, Lucifer. Long ago you were my servant. Now, liar of liars, prince of all darkness, ruler of the world system, head of all religion, government, science, fashion, education, and commerce, you have boasted that you brought down man. I'm going to say that again. Liar of liars, prince of all darkness, ruler of the world system, head of all... What did I say first? Religion. And government. And science. And fashion. And education. And commerce. Does that mean all of these things are totally, extensively, excessively, totally wicked? No. There's good comes from them. Predominantly wicked, yes. Operating under the realm of Satan, you have boasted that you brought down man. Law appeared, capital L. I said, Law, come bring me your endless list of rules which men are to do or not to do. And world, capital W, sneered. The harder they tried to do those good deeds, the more they were drawn to the opposite. 10 things not to do, scoffed Lucifer, obviously referencing the Ten Commandments. He added in mock surprise, no, not 10, 613. And you can find that number again and again and again, people commenting on Scripture and saying that the 613 general headings and such and notes of clarification and explanation of the Ten Commandments, but meaning something in particular that makes it a pretty evil thing, and that is like commentary added by man to the Ten Commandments and the teaching of them, because that's wicked to comment. No, it becomes wickedness when the 613, which is exactly what the religionists did, 613, that was just the beginning. It went far beyond that. Now there are 613 commands and do's and don't nots. Double negative, I know. Elevated to the level of the 10 God gave, but man originated. We do the same today. 613 things a man must or must not ever do, and let us not forget moons and months and days and seasons and Sabbath, all were needed for man's salvation. Paul, in writing to Timothy, by the way, in the New Testament, mentioned these monthly observances and so on and so on, all bad and evil in themselves. No, not necessarily. Depends on how you use them. But when tradition, in whatever way, shape, and form, and practice, is elevated to the level of the Word of God, and then, in a sense, then exercises supremacy over it in our thinking, in our practice, something is very, very out of line, very wrong. All were needed for man's salvation. Sin sensed that some awful creature was drawing near, and he approaches even now. Death. Capital D. Death is near. Yes, I replied, death is very near. Come, death, cried sin. He bellowed, here comes one who can kill God. See? Think of all these demons, the lion, the witch, and the wardrobe. just a whole mass of them, hordes just moving against Aslan. Now, in this case, represented not as a lamb, but as a lion. Representing, I mean, Christ as a lion. Lucifer spoke. Even as the life seeps out of you, Son of God, there comes one to steal your last breath. Then you will be snuffed out forever. Oh, what a blessed moment, smacked Lucifer. Then there will be no divinity, he continued. The universe will be void of all but lower life forms and highest death. Death in triumph over life. Death shall reign supreme. There's a scene shift here from that focus on, you know, all that surrounding this hill, all that out there in the darkness, although that not seen by those that have eyes to see but can't see. What's out there? What's done? What's being dealt with here by Jesus? And he reverts, in a sense, back to the immediate scene. What happens then is this. As I spoke these words, the unseen world began to fade, and I was once more in the realm of space and time. Lord, you know who it was? It was the thief. These would be among the last words the thief would be able to utter. The end is fast approaching. My time was also very short. I could smell the stench of approaching death. I heard a tone in the voice of this thief that I had not heard before, though it was but one single word, Lord. Oh, we sang about that this morning. I ask one thing of you, Lord. Is it possible, in that moment of your triumph, when you enter into your kingdom, is it possible that you might remember me? Remember you, I replied. How can I possibly forget you? You are the first of my salvation. You are my first conquest over death. You, above all others, are the first evidence of my redemption. How can I forget you? There's a book called The Book of Life. Your name has been written therein. The thief understood nothing, but in a few moments, he would know nothing. He would know even as he was known. Lord, I know nothing of your teachings. I've not heard your preaching. I know nothing concerning your demands, nor can I as much as move. There's no way I can serve you. What is there I can do? Lord's response, there's but one demand, and you've already met it. You've learned to call me Lord. I will, therefore, enter your innermost being and dwell with you for all eternity. Before this day is over, you will be with me in paradise. How can that be? It can be because I chose you long before there was anything, including nothingness. And the first name ever written in the book of life was penned by me, and you, thief, it was your name that was first written therein. Well, now it is time. The scene on the hill began to change. It's now time for me to summon even death. Death, your hour has arrived, I whispered. Come forth, let us speak to one another. Death, before we both die. Death is going to die. And so is life. He comes, my child, come, screeched sin. Come to me, my son. Your mother calls. We might say today, come to daddy. Death thought he was that. Come from the east, gathering all that is filth. Come from the west and gather all that is abomination. Come from the north, gather all that is wicked. And from the south, gather together here all that is evil. Gather all the dregs of hell, all things unnatural. bring together all blasphemies of time and eternity. Worldliness, capital W, turned its face in shame. The principalities, the demons, the unclean spirits gasped for breath. Never before had all sin been confronted in such a closed-in space, such a small space. The very earth shook in uncertain horror. I, death. Death speaking, death making a speech. I first met you face to face at the rebellion in the other realm. Then upon the night of the Passover, you denied me my rightful spoils. I swore that night I would someday have you as my prey. Remember Egypt? First Passover night, centuries ago now. You have never known death, Son of God, and I have never known life. I am the negation of all that you are. The God who lives and the God who cannot live spend our last moments together. At last, upon this hill, you are mine. I, death, extinguish the hate in every man's heart. It's there maybe through all the while, see, these things, all the while they're living, but when death comes, I extinguish the hate. I end man's doubts and questions forever. I'm the one whom the aged embrace with joy. I end all pain. I and I alone release all suffering. I finish all wars. I end all negotiations. You, dying Galilean, have brought light into creation. I brought darkness that never ends. No one has ever won an argument with me. You brought life to a few. I have brought an end to all. The most powerful have fought and lost. There are no exceptions. I make equal all. There are no great or small. You have raised one, yea, two, perhaps three from the grave. I have plunged countless millions into the grave. Might just be mentioned just for anyhow in case you're confused on it. But yes, Jesus raised these from the dead, and yet his first encounter, in a sense, a resuscitation return to this life on those he raised on earth and other prophets. It happened with Elisha and whatever else. But at any rate, to have that name of that thief be the first recorded in his book of life means, in a sense, in that eternal sense, as scripture has it, not because of Gene Edwards' presentation or my treatment of it, for whatever it's worth. But death continued roaring his self-praises. You are creator. Who's greater, he who creates or he who obliterates all? Death. Then of my kingdom there shall be no end. Witness now the end of all you have done. Within this hour there shall be but one God, small g. The other shall be forever dead. Look around you, carpenter. All sin is embodied here. Now drink the cup. Drain it right to the dregs. All that has been put in that cup. In a representative sense like that, you who were once called Lord, let all filth of sin become yours. Absorb all iniquity. In that instant shall I come. I will wrap you in my embrace. Jesus responds, death, are you finished with your self-exaltation? I asked. You can kill even God? ? So you say. Of this one thing you are correct. This is the final battle. I'm really tempted to put in there and say, but and the outcome isn't as you think, death. This is the final battle. Life versus death. Bellowed death, I will kill divine life and it shall never be known again. So you say, said Jesus. So you say, at that moment the cup appeared. At that moment the cup was poised to pour its contents into me. The rage of all sin began to fill every cell in my body, my heart, and my mind began to falter. I, who had never sinned, who was unacquainted with transgressions, was suddenly becoming one with sin. My end was at hand. I had not only taken sin into me, I was becoming its incarnation. I knew my life could not long endure. Not in the flesh, of course. My body and soul were ablaze with what was now permeating my all. With a body on fire, I heard myself cry out, "I thirst." In that final moment, I commanded those who were present from the unseen realm, "Step forth, come into my very being. You, world," these are personification, all capitals, "you, world, die with me. Lucifer, principalities and powers and all whom you head, come into me. Law, you have been fulfilled. Now come into my bosom. Adam's race, all that was touched by the fall and creation itself, come into me and be one with me. Death, be my servant. Put to death all that is now one with me. Come, religion, that which strives to be good but is ever failing. Come!" And as death wrapped himself about me to snuff out the last ember of my life, I whispered to death, "Is there not one greater than you?" "None. None. Is there not one who can put death to death?" "There is no such a one," screamed death. "Not true," I replied. "You have for so long called yourself death, but I was here long before you. I tell you now that you did not what you did not know then. I am disguised. You, death, are but a shadow. Today I kill you, death." Calvary, the death of death. "You thought you came for me, but it is I who came for you." And death still holding for, "I have crucified the world. I have crucified sin. I have crucified law. I have crucified the race of Adam. I have crucified creation. And I have crucified all else that has this hour entered into me." And death cried, "I take comfort in this. I am also killing the Galilean. That is satisfaction enough for me. Let me end here and now. You shall lie in the grave beside me. If I can hold you for 3 days, carpenter, then I will hold you forever." I cried out, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," whatever. A bystander thought I was calling for Elijah. "Let us see if Elijah will come and save him." And then I heard the voice of my father, "Well done, my beloved and faithful son." Hearing my father's words, I cried out, "It is finished. Father, into your hands I entrust my spirit." Turn with me to number 369, please, in the hymnal. Pay close attention to the words, like as if you never heard this.
Side, march the forces of evil. when the sun refuses to shine. For there ain't God in the heavens, and then through the darkness he cries.
Verse 4.
In my heart the battle.
Rain again.
It is finished. The battle is over. It is finished. There'll be no more war. It is finished. The end of the conflict. And Jesus is Lord.
If we could, I'd like to sing this song yet today. It's an old one that goes way back, and we haven't sung it here to my knowledge. Number 319. He fought the battle for us. That's why I think we need to affirm this yet and end here, which is a beginning.
Thank you.
Father in heaven, we can say hardly anything more than thank you. Lord, the longer we go, the more we grow, we just come to realize more and more, if we'll stay on that thought, and if we'll stay on that teaching, if we'll stay on that truth from Scripture that you came to do it for us, came to do it for us. And like Jesus was concerned with even that one thief at that very, very difficult hour, the same concern for us. The same concern for us. You've done it for us. The battle is over, and we realize, looking back on it, that you fought that battle for us. Each and every one, thank you. We thank you, Father. Let's sing these words of verse 3 again, and just plain end with that, shall we? You go in peace.